Good evening. Nice again to be with you tonight. And tonight, if you would, we will turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, and there we'll read verse 1 to 7. 2 Kings 4 and verse 1 to 7. Thank you all for coming out tonight, and so that we can spend time in the Word of God. And we'll read from verse 1 of chapter 4 of 2 Kings. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bound men. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad, and of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. And the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his precious word. So what I want to look at tonight with you is to see how the Lord wants us to have life and to have it more abundantly. And I want to see with you tonight also that we are the limit to the abundance, the abundant life that the Lord wants to give us. And I want to look at also the fact that He gives us the abundance, and He does it in using what we have, what we already have. Even though it may be little, He chooses to use that which we already have to give us an abundant life. So we'll see that as we look at this tonight. He wants us to have a life and to have it more abundantly. That's His desire for us. He doesn't want us to be going about in life without the abundance. But what we're speaking about is not so much the material abundance. You know, there's a lot of people, that's what they preach. You know, when you get saved, you get rich and you get healthy and there's no problem. But that's not the life, really. That's not the real life, is it? The real life is really to have it abundantly in a spiritual sense. It doesn't mean material abundance, but life itself. That's what He wants us to have in abundance. He wants that life, that and it's life eternal that He's given us. John chapter 10 and verse 10, He said there, I am come that they, my sheep, He's talking about His sheep, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So the Lord wants us to have an abundant life, and He's done everything for that. In Ephesians 3 and 20, Paul would speak of that too. He says, Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Paul always uses big words. And multiplication. And He says, Him, He is able. The abundant life depends on Him, for He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And he tells us also that the power that works in us is the power that raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, took Him from the tomb, raised Him from the dead, and has ascended Him up in heaven and given Him the highest place, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we see that This is the same power that becomes available to us, that works in our lives to give us that abundant life, and giving us that abundant life, then we can spread, we can tell others about this abundant life. And that's what becomes attractive, isn't it, in the Christian life. When we have life and we have it abundantly, it will show, and people will be attracted to that, because that's the only way we can have an abundant life, is with the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1, 2 and 4 says, Peter, as he's greeting them there, he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied." So it's not like giving a little bit. Just like Paul, Peter is saying that, you know, he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power," he's talking about the power of God again, "hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." So we see, like, this abundance in life is in knowing God and knowing his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is abundance there, and we can have abundant life. And then he goes on to say, "whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." You know, the words there are always exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature. Isn't that something? You know, when you think about that, we were created in this world, and by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is outside of his creation. The Lord exists outside of his creation. Like, you would take creation out of the picture, and the Lord Jesus Christ would still be. That's amazing, isn't it? Everything we know is in creation, but God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, are outside of their creation. But we have been called to out of time, to be out of time into eternity. And we have this life now with us. We have been, that we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So that's quite the exchange, isn't it? We were in this world, living in the things of this world, and we have been called to another realm, and that realm is the presence of God. And John speaks of that, doesn't he, when he speaks in his first chapter of his first epistle. He speaks of the fellowship that we have, and the fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. And having fellowship with the Father and with the Son, that's the basis of our fellowship together. And he speaks of that which we have seen and heard and we have handled with our hands, he would speak to us, so that we may also have fellowship and have fellowship with together and have fellowship with God. So this is abundant life, and that's what God wants for us. You know, if we don't have abundant life, God is not to blame. When we read of all these verses here, that God wants us, and he's done everything for us to have abundant life. He didn't give us life with a little bit, like a small measure, like he's given us his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has come to indwell us by his Spirit. And he has given to us wonderful, precious, great promises that we might have it, have this life, having escaped the corruption. I think sometimes, like, all of you would know George Mueller, and how George Mueller, you know, he trusted in God. And when he trusted in God, there was an abundance that we still speak of today. It was said that in the days of George Mueller, there was no atheist in Bristol, because they had no choice but to see that there was a God in heaven who answered the prayers of George Mueller. And George Mueller was the instrument that God used to feed so many orphans. There was at times like 7,000 orphans that he had to give them a place to live. He had to dress them. He had to give them an education and preach the gospel and teach them in the Word of God. This was quite a task, isn't it? When I think about that, like, I don't know if I'd be willing to be used in that way. It's sad, isn't it? Like, when we think, I'm sure it was an exciting life. Was a dangerous life. It was a life that would put him to the test many times. But when you look back on his life, it gives glory to God. And it's so wonderful. But all he did really, he did this in a time of poverty. Did this when there was not much to rely upon, humanly speaking. But he relied on God. He took God at his word. And what he had read was a verse in Psalm 81 and verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of Egypt, of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. You know, I could have said, well, you know, this is not addressed to me. This verse was addressed to the people of Israel, and they were the ones who could open their mouth, and he would fill them. And he did, didn't he? In the wilderness, when they came out of Egypt, he brought them through the wilderness. And as he brought them through the wilderness, he fed them amazingly. You know, he fed the whole multitude of his people there. And there was a rock that followed them, and they drank out of that rock, and it was Christ. And the manna, the bread that came from heaven to feed them, and they didn't go wanting, did they? It was quite a task for Moses to take them out of Egypt and to have this people, the burden of this people. But God was with them, and that's what was the important thing in this, wasn't it? That God was with them. But George Mueller could have said, well, this was very beautiful. It was nice, you know, for the people of Israel. God had made them a promise, and they were to act on that promise. They were to step out in faith and trust God for that promise and to see the hand of God provide for them. But he was in in Bristol, and he saw these orphans that would be on the street. He would see them. Sometimes they would put them in jail. Not that they had done things wrong, but this was the only place where they could put them in for to be out from the street. And he had a burden. And he could have said, well, you know, it would be nice if God sent someone to come to this place and to see the need and to have a desire to help in the need. Well, he took it for himself. Having read this verse, he believed that he could put God to the test. He believed he could step out in faith on that verse, and he could look after these orphans. And he did. And it's a wonderful thing. How wonderful it was for that work to be done in Bristol and all these children to be fed. How many of them would have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and their need have been met by this one man who was willing to be to trust God. Not that he had the resources, but he knew that the God of heaven who fed Israel in the desert, in the wilderness, would be able to feed these children. So really what God needed was he needed an instrument to be able to show his power. And George Mueller was willing to be that instrument. So he wants us to have life and to have it more abundantly. You know, we think of the children that benefited from that. We think of the glory of God that was expressed and seen in Bristol because of the answer to prayer. But we think of all the encouragement that we've received. I was encouraged by that story, and I'm sure you probably have been encouraged by that story. And it goes on. See, the Lord does things in a way that surpasses what we can think or ask. He uses things, and he shows his glory. If we're willing, we'll see that as we go along. Because really, it's not that God is not able. It's not that he doesn't want us to have life abundantly. I would suggest to you tonight that we are the limit. We think of this woman here. Her husband was one of the sons of the prophet, and she says that he feared God. He feared the Lord, like when he was serving the Lord. And it doesn't mean that bad things don't happen when you love the Lord and you serve the Lord like this man did. And this woman, she was probably supporting her husband in the work he was doing. And she said, thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And God knew that, and things like that happen. But God wanted to use this woman. He wanted to do something for her. And he did it. So really, I would say to you that we are the limits to the abundance that God wants us to have in life. He wants us to have life and to have it more abundantly. We see this in the story here in the vessels they went to get. You know, Elisha told her to send her sons and to go get vessels. And in the amount of vessels, the number of vessels that they brought, really we see in this story here that this was the limit, wasn't it? Because the oil didn't stay until there was no more vessels. See, if they had more vessels, there would have been more oil. So really, they went to get, by faith, they went to get the vessels and brought the vessels, and the Lord filled the vessels. So, but why would we want to be the limit? And when we think about that, why, if God wants me to have life and life, abundant life, and why would I want to be the limit in this? Because God is not the limit. God wants us to give us, he wants to give us so much. He wants to give us his abundance, and he has the abundance. But why would we want to be the limit? I would say, I would suggest to you that it is because it's going to cost us. There will be a cost involved. When you think of George Mueller, well, he didn't live his life for himself, did he? It must have been something, you know, he could have taken his ease and done something else, but to have, like when we have a family of four or five children, we think it's pretty good, isn't it? And we think of people in the past, and my in-laws, they had 19 children. My wife's family, they were 19 children, so, you know, they had, like my father-in-law was telling me how many back-to-school fall they had with all the children, and this is not an easy task, is it? But when you have 7,000 orphans that you have to, I know there was other people that came in to help, but it does cost us to be the vessel that God will fill with abundance to show his glory, to show his power. There was one that said, Spirit of God, make me thy fuel, flame of God. And if in the process I be consumed, thy will be done. You know, and really what she was saying was that she wanted to burn for God. She wanted to be, that her life would make, be a testimony to the power of God in her day. And we are in the day when we are an instrument that God can use for the, for showing his glory, for showing his power to the generation in which we live. You know, it's not by chance that we are in this generation. And there were those who were ahead of us, and they did their work in their time, and they have been examples to us, and we follow their examples, and then we become examples, and then the young people can follow on in this. But that we have a time in this life where we can show the power of God, but it's going to cost us, and in the process we'll be consumed. It's going to consume us, and this is all right. Are we willing for that? Are we ready to let the Lord use us in whatever capacity that he would want to? You know, this is putting ourselves on the altar and saying, God, thy ways, not mine. It's thy life. I want to live thy life. I don't want to live for myself. I want to live for you. That's quite a decision, isn't it? To say that. There's a lot of things that we could do and take our ease. It would be much easier for now. But really, where is our desire? Where is our joy? Our joy is when the Lord is able to use us. When we make ourselves available, he's not going to force us. You know, we don't have to do things. He wants us to do it, but we have to make that choice ourselves by faith to be able. And many times, you know, we have all the reasons why we believe we cannot do it. I'm not able. And that's true. Moses was like that, wasn't he? I can't. Like, I can't speak. I can't. There's many faults with us, and we're not able. That's a fact. You know, when we look at ourselves, we can see that I'm not able. But if I let the Lord use me, and he used Moses. Look at the man, you know, like he didn't think he could speak, and yet this man led the people of Israel in the wilderness, and God used him mightily. And the people of Israel, they complained a lot when he was living, but after he died, he was a good man. Seems to be that way. But they always referred back to Moses, even in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they said, we know where Moses came. We know him, you know, but who are you? They didn't receive the Lord Jesus Christ, but they thought of Moses because he had done great things. And he had marked his time. And for all the time of Israel, they would refer back to Moses. But, you know, it will depend on how we want to be involved. If we don't want to be involved, we won't have the abundance. But if we want to be involved, if we want to be used by God, like he's willing to use us. He wants to use us. And when he uses us, like he will make great things if we will let him. The Lord will not give us something just to put it on the shelf and say, look at that, you know. Sometimes some Christians, they think, you know, they can display like something about the Spirit of God and be seen. People will say, wow, how spiritual this man is or this woman is. And that's not the purpose. God will not give us something to put on the shelf and show it and say, look at me. You know, I'm so spiritual. I'm so powerful in the things of God. But he wants to give us something that will be used. Whether, you know, he wants our lives. He wants to be able to use our lives. And this is the cost. That's why sometimes we don't want to. That's why we refrain. Maybe out of fear or out of laziness sometimes, which is even worse, isn't it? When it's out of laziness. He's done so much for us. You know, he gave his life for us. He came here on this earth and he suffered and he bled and he died and he was buried and he rose again and he ascended up into heaven. And even now, he has set himself apart to prepare us a place and to take us through the things of this life. He is our intercessor, and he will bring us home finally. This is his task, and he will do that. But he wants us to live our lives for him. If I want to live my life and keep it for myself, I can do that. But if I let him have my life, then he will use it. And we can be guaranteed that. Each one of us. You know, we can look at others and say, oh yeah, this would be a good instrument in the work of God, and God could use that person. But God wants to use me. He wants to use you in his work. And he wants to do something great. He wants you to have life, and he wants you to have life more abundantly. And it's an increasing thing. It's going to be more and more as we learn. I'm sure like George Mueller, when he started, he didn't have the 7,000 orphans at once. He began with a few, and it just increased. And that's the way God will use us. He gives us a little something to do. And when we do it faithfully, he will give us more. And when we keep doing it faithfully and we are available to him, he will increase us more and more to his glory. And that's wonderful, isn't it? If we want to live our lives for ourselves, we'll lose it. Because in the end, it's not going to be worth much. But when we let him use our lives, it's going to be a great thing, a very great thing that he will bring glory to his name. I would say something to you tonight. I would suggest to you tonight that whatever is important to us, we fill our lives with these things. Whatever it is. You know, if it's sports, if it's anything, if it's spiritual things, we'll fill our lives with those things. And those things become a big part of our life. But what is it that I'm filling my life with? You know, we need the energy of faith. It was the energy of faith for these boys to go out and to ask for vessels and to bring vessels home. They could have said, well, nobody will give us vessels. We're poor. We can't buy them. There was many obstacles in the ways, but they went out. Out of faith, they went out and they picked up vessels from the neighbors. They asked wherever they went and they asked for vessels. But the more vessels they were going to bring home, the more abundance they would have. And because she kept pouring the oil, and the oil stayed when the son said, we don't have any more vessels. We can't fill anymore because we don't have any more. So really, it's faith on our part to go out and to be to make the vessels, to let the Lord enlarge the vessel so that we can contain more of him. We see that in different places. In 2 Kings chapter 13, we see the king of Israel, Joash, and he had enemies. It was Syria, his enemies. And Elisha said to him, he said, take a bow and arrows. And Joash did. He took bows and arrows, And he said, open the window towards Syria and eastward. And then he said, Elisha put his hand on the bow with Joash, and he says, launch an arrow, shoot an arrow towards the east. And he did. And then he was with him. And Joash, maybe like he felt he was not able, the Syrian army was much stronger than him. And Elisha said, this is an arrow of deliverance from the Lord. The Lord will deliver. And then he said to Joash, he said, now take the arrows and smite the ground. And Joash smote the ground thrice. And then he stopped. And Elisha was upset. And he said, you should have done it 5 or 6 times. And you would have been delivered completely from the Syrians. But now you're going to have 3 victories. So that's all he had to work with. Now why? Because he stopped after 3. I don't know, it must have been a big, hard job to do it. It must have been too costly for him. And he did it 3 times and that's it. That was enough for him. Really, he was saying by that's all I want. Because if he was going to go to battle 3 times, he would have victory 3 times. Well, if he had done it 5 or 6 times, he would have had complete deliverance from his enemies. Why didn't he have abundance? Why didn't he have complete victory? It was all because of him. He was the limit. God wasn't the limit. God could give him as many victories as he wanted. But it was him that said, that's enough. 3 will be enough. It'll be plenty for me. I don't want any more than that. That's all I'm willing to put out. I'm willing to fight the battle 3 times, and that's going to be it for me. And but he wanted deliverance. Elisha himself, when you think of Elisha himself, you know, he knew the same thing, didn't he? He was with Elijah. When Elijah, he was a servant of Elijah. And it must have been something to see the power of God through the life of Elijah. And it caused him to desire the same thing, didn't it? He followed Elijah, and he was with him. And when the day that Elijah was taken away from the earth, caught up into the heaven, and we read about that in 2 Kings chapter 2, he wanted to be with Elijah. And the sons of the prophets at Bethel and Jericho, they told him, you know, like your master is going to be taken away from you today. They knew that. And he said, well, don't say anything. Like he kept going with Elijah. And even Elijah said, refrain, stay here and I will go. And he says, no, I will never leave you. He could have said, oh, yeah, I'll wait for you. Elijah said to wait, so I'll wait. No, there was a desire in his heart. There was a desire. He wanted to see the power of God. He wanted to be involved. And he went along with Elijah. And just before Elijah was taken away, like he came to the Jordan and he took his mantle and he smote the water and the waters parted and then they went through on dry ground. And then after that, Elijah, when he saw his persistence, because he wanted to go on, he didn't want to go back. He wanted to be involved. And there was no turning back for him. And Elijah asked him, he said, what do you want that I do for you before I depart? And he could have said, well, I'd like to have maybe a half a portion of your spirit. No, Elijah was a great man, wasn't he? Elijah had done great things, and only half a portion of his spirit would be quite something, wouldn't it? No, Elisha wanted more than that. He says, I want a double portion of your spirit. I want more than that. And I'm sure he realized what it meant. He saw, like Elijah with a single portion of the Spirit of God, how his life was used, how that Elijah, he didn't have an easy life. And a double portion of that spirit would mean what? It would mean like even a double life, wouldn't it? And Elisha was willing for that. He wanted that. He wanted to have the double portion of Elijah's life. I don't know, did he see the need in the people of Israel? Didn't want the people of Israel without a testimony of the power of God. Maybe he wanted a greater testimony than Elijah even of the power of God. And Elijah said, if you see me before when I'm taken away, then it will happen to you. If not, it won't. And I'm sure he kept his eyes on Elijah and he saw him ascend up into heaven. And then like he rent his garments and he put them aside. Then he took Elijah's mantle and he came to the Jordan, and he smote the waters, and the waters parted, and Elisha was used of God. He showed the abundance of God, didn't he, in his time? This is something, isn't it? This was a life lived in the power and service of this double portion. He was willing to go forth and to show the power of God in his life. So we are the limit. God wants us, the desire of God is that we would have life and have it more abundantly. And he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ says, he says, I am come that my sheep may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Paul is speaking about exceeding great, Peter is speaking about exceeding great and precious promises. And Paul is saying that he can do above all that we can think or ask, exceedingly great, abundantly above what we can think or ask. And we are the limit because it's going to cost us. So we are the limit in the amount of vessels that we are willing to get to be filled with the oil. And the oil would speak of the Spirit of God. But my third point tonight is that he does it by increasing what we already have. May it be little, and it is little. What we have is little. But he wants to use that. You know, sometimes when we see a need, we think, well, there's, you know, there are great resources outside of ourselves. You know, there's people who are so great, and you know, it would be so nice. And sometimes, like assemblies, sometimes they think, well, we could have somebody that was great that would come and help us. But really, like, he wants to use what's there. That's the way the Lord works. And he does it by increasing what we already have. And when we look at it, it's not much. You know, what we are is not much. We don't have much to offer. But he wants to use that. And in John chapter 6 and verse 9, when the Lord wanted to feed the multitudes that were there, you know, there was 5,000 people there. And the disciples says, send them back. You know, they need to eat. And the Lord says, no, you give them to eat. What do you mean? You give them to eat, 5,000 people. Last night we were at supper and there was 425 people. And I'm glad I didn't have to feed them. We were well fed, thanks to the Lord. But I'm glad I didn't have to feed them. Imagine 5,000 people here at night in the desert place, and he says, you feed them. And they say, well, it's impossible. Even what we could buy for bread, like if we gathered all that we have and buy bread, we wouldn't have enough for everyone to have a little portion. And he says, what do you have? And they say, what do they say to him? There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? You know, think of that. Like, you've got a little boy's lunch, and here you have 5,000 people, and you're gonna, this little boy, he will share his lunch with all these people. That doesn't make sense. They're just going to have, like, I don't know, they wouldn't have enough to have a little bite each. And the little boy could have said, well, you know, I'm very sorry, but I thought about bringing a lunch. My mom gave me a lunch, and you can watch me, but I'm going to have my lunch while I'm having my lunch. But that's not what he did. The Lord Jesus used that. But the little boy had to give his lunch, didn't he? If he didn't give his lunch, this great miracle would not have happened. We wouldn't have seen the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to use, he could have fed them without the little boy's lunch. You know, he could have made, of the stones, he could have made bread. He could have fed them. He gave the people of Israel the manna that came from heaven. But he wanted to use this little boy's lunch. That's the way it is with us. We wonder sometimes, why does he want to use the like of me? Well, he does. He shows his glory in that. And he took this little boy's lunch, and he fed the 5,000, and there was 12 baskets left over. Well, you know, that's even more, that's a lot more than what they started with. But it shows something, doesn't it? If there was 12 baskets left over, it means that everybody had, they were satisfied. They had enough and were satisfied, and there was even more. There could have been more people, and he would have fed them too. The abundance is, you know, it's exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. But this little boy had to share his lunch. And that's the same thing with us. Whatever we have, may it be little, and it is little, we need to be willing to give it. Did the little boy lack anything? Not at all. I'm sure he was fed as much as the other ones. And like we'll see later on, there was a widow, and she experienced the same thing. When we give to the Lord, when we give ourselves to the Lord, we're not going to go lacking. He says that we will have life and have it more abundantly. Now, we were at a missionary conference in Quebec, and sadly enough, in Quebec, you know, the missions is not the strongest point in Quebec. And I was sad to hear a comment. There was somebody who said, when we were speaking about the mission field, you know, and the needs on the mission field, and someone said, shouldn't we be looking after our own needs first? And I thought, well, you know, that's not the plan of God, is it? When you look after the Lord's work, when you have in mind the Lord's work, He will take care of you, won't He? And we find out that in giving, we don't lack nothing. When we give away, like when they sent away Saul and Barnabas, you know, they could have said, well, we need them here. You know, there's a lot of work to be done here. There's in Antioch, there's a lot of people that need to be exhorted. And these men were exhorters, and they were teaching others, and we need them to teach others to do the same work, and they released them. The Spirit of God said, set apart Saul and Barnabas for the work to which they have called them, and they let them go. They could have said, no, we're not going to let them go. We need them here. But they let them go. Did they lack anything? No, they didn't. And Antioch was a strong assembly in the New Testament. And Paul, Saul, and Barnabas, they went out and did the work of the Lord. And really, they increased, didn't they? Not only they were doing a work in Antioch, but now their work extended, and it went all over the known world of the time. So really, Antioch was expanding so much. You know, it was increasing because they sent these two servants that were probably very useful to them. I'm sure they were. But they let them go, they released them. But it's the same thing. God, when we give to the Lord, we're not going to go lacking, because by giving, you know, it seems like we can't give enough. The more we give, the more we have. And this is what it is. This little boy was fully satisfied, never missed his lunch. He just gave it to the Lord. No, the Lord wants to do that. We see the same thing with Gideon. That's a principle that we see through scriptures, and we need to learn that in our lives and in what we do for the Lord. Gideon was like that, wasn't he? The Midianites were oppressing the people of Israel. And when the time for harvest came, they would sow, and when the harvest came, they would destroy their harvest so that they had nothing to eat. And Gideon was out at night and threshing, and he didn't feel very big, you know, and the angel of the Lord appears to him. And the angel of the Lord, he looked upon him and said, go in thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And he calls him man of valor. And Gideon saying, like, it's almost like he's looking behind him. There must be somebody here standing beside me or behind me. Now, the angel of the Lord was speaking to Gideon. And he calls him a mighty man of valor. And Gideon doesn't have that high esteem of himself. You know, he had a low esteem of himself. And he said, and Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. Like, you know, you've chose just the wrong person, didn't you? Like, Manasseh was not the biggest tribe in Israel. And he says, even in my father's house, we're very little in the tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. So, you know, there's a lot of mighty men there that you could look to. But the Lord says, no, I want to use you. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Well, that's something, isn't it? It's not that Gideon was something else. He was not much. But the fact that God would be with him is what would make the difference, isn't it? Mr. Chapman said something that I found maybe it wouldn't really agree with what we hear in this world today. But I believe it's really biblical. What he said is, to be strong in faith, two things are needful. a very low esteem of ourselves. This world would say, no, no, you need a good self-esteem, you know. But Mr. Chapman saw it differently. He says, what two things are needful? A very low esteem of ourselves and a very high esteem of Christ. That's what we need in this world, to be strong in faith. And I believe this is biblical. I believe that, you know, we need a low esteem of ourselves, very low esteem of ourselves, and a very high esteem of Christ. What is this? He's saying that I can't do it, so I'm not going to do it in my power, but I know the God of all, the Almighty God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and by His Spirit, well, like we read in the Bible, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul knew that. And that is very important, isn't it? But, and even we see that God is pleased in using the least, the weak things of this world. And we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Like Paul speaks to the Corinthians, and maybe they felt the same way, that they weren't much, and we are not much. But in verse 26, he says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised had God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. I was just watching a video on YouTube of Ray Comfort. And he was confronting PhDs and students in biology and science. And he's not, I don't think he's a scholar. I don't think he's that, he's not a scientist. But he had the faith to go out and question them on what they were saying. And he was just using their argument of what they were saying. And he, you know, these very wise men, very well-educated men, at the end, they're like, well, and they don't have anything to say anymore. And it's amazing, isn't it? And I'm sure, like, they knew a lot more than him in science, but he comes in their argument, he comes to a point where, and you see them one after the other, and they say, well, at first, they've got a lot of answers, but at the end, they don't have any more answers. And that's amazing, isn't it? The Lord is pleased to do that. He wants to use us in that way. But that's quite something, isn't it, when you think of that, to go to these people and confront them with arguments. And they're so higher in education than you are. And yet, you know, the Lord, just the fact that he was willing to go out and confront them on it. And the Lord is with us, isn't it? Go with thy might. Go with what you have. And he was willing to do that. But we need to be willing to spend it. We need to be willing to be spent. Elijah also, when he went to see the widow of Zarephath, you know, it's the same way again. We see that principle in scriptures everywhere. He wants to use what we have. He comes to this widow in 1 Kings chapter 17, and he asked her for a cake, a little cake. And she said, well, he asked for a glass of water first, and she gave him a glass of water. But then he asked for a little cake, and she says, well, you know, all I have is a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. Not very much. And she says, now I'm gathering a few sticks, and I'm going to go home, and I'm going to make a little something for my son and I, which is probably may not be a big meal. But I'm going to make that. We're going to eat that, and then we're going to die. And he says, well, first, go and make me a little cake. And she does that. And he says, like, the meal will not stop and the oil. And it was so. So she gave what she had, and she never lacked, did she? The Lord used that, and it's a wonderful story we read today, and it's for our encouragement. I'm sure it was an encouragement to Elijah at the time, and it was an encouragement to her, and that the people around would see the power of God in this. And the Lord Jesus Christ used that story, didn't he? It says there was many widows in Israel at the time of Elijah, the prophet, but he was not sent to any of them. He was sent to a Gentile. And the Lord, it showed the power of God. So really, what we need to do is to give to the Lord first. And when we give to the Lord, we will not go lacking. Are we willing? Are we willing to show His power in our lives? I know the Lord wants us to have life abundantly, and He is able to. And we are the limit. We are the limit. Like, you and I are the limit for the power of God to be displayed in our lives. And that if we let Him, He will use what we have. He will use us, whatever we are, with the infirmities and the weaknesses and the shortcomings and the failures. He would use that. Why? Because it will show that the power is not from us. Surely, like, it will show that it was not us. It was God working through us. And this will bring honor and glory to His name. So here was this widow, and the Lord teaches us something, a principle here. He wants us to have life. She had a problem. She had a great need. And the Lord gave her the abundance. She paid her debt. And it was enough to live on afterwards with her sons. And it's the same way for us. If we're willing to let Him use us, we're willing to be spent, He will use us, and He will show His power, and it will be an abundant life for us. It's going to be so wonderful. Isn't it our desire? It's going to cost us. Are we willing? The Lord will not do it unless we're willing to let Him use us in that capacity. May the Lord be an encouragement to us, the Word of God be an encouragement to us, that we may be willing to be spent. Like the little boy, let's give her lunch, and the Lord will use it, and we won't go lacking. He will provide for us too. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee so much for Thy power, the power that You want to display to this world in which we live, in the generation, Father, that we live in. We know that there are those that the mockers of the last days, that they say, where is the promise of His coming? Father, may we show forth in our lives that we believe. And may we be used, Father, mightily in this generation, because there are still people that need to come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved from their sins. Father, we are the ones who have the responsibility to show Thy power in our generation. Father, may we be used of Thee. Help us, Father, to not limit the abundance that You want us to have. And Father, may we be willing to be used in whatever capacity You have given us, that the glory may be brought to Thyself. Father, we thank Thee now, asking Thy blessing in the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we would part now. Amen. I wonder if we could sing in closing number 485. I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to Thee. Number 485, and then the meeting will be over. Thanks for listening. Just granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea.